This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Broadcasting and streaming live all across America, this is Home Talk USA with Michael King, where we will discuss topics pertaining to your home with industry-leading experts. Michael King is a licensed general contractor with more than 30 years of experience in home improvements and the author of Contracting with the King. Join us this hour for our segment, Invent America, with your co-host, the inventor lady, Rita Crompton. Discover what's next in the home improvement industry and explore new products and innovations. Or if you have that next great big idea, learn what it takes to bring your invention to the world as Michael King and Rita Crompton talk to America's inventors and innovators. Remember, the America of tomorrow is being invented today. We invite you to visit us at HometalkUSA.com, one of the best resources for home improvement information around today. Your best life begins with your best home, and there's no place like Home Talk. That's HometalkUSA.com. And now, we proudly present Invent America from the number one home improvement radio program in the country, Home Talk USA, with your host, the Cajun contractor, Michael King, and his co-host, the inventor lady, Rita Crompton.
Yay! Welcome, America. That's right. Invent America. That's our theme for this hour. I want to welcome all of the Home Talk USA radio listeners, not to confuse you. The Invent America show is part of the Home Talk USA radio family, where we talk to inventors, entrepreneurs, talk about the technologies of the future. So we want to welcome all of you that's now tuning in. My co-host, she's with me right now, the inventor lady herself, Miss Rita Crompton. Hey, Rita!
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I got to let my audience know that next week you're going to have to ride this ship alone because I'm going to be taking a hiatus, and I know you're excited to take over next week, and looking forward to you with another great topic.
Well, you know, I love filling in for you because so many of your guests were inventors at one time, and now they're in the business world. And I find it fascinating to be able to visit with them and see what they've accomplished and, you know, where they currently are finding, you know, their challenges and being able to share their products and their successes with everybody, because then we walk right into an Invent America show that is dealing with inventors just trying to get their product out there. So it's a learning lesson for everybody.
Yeah, you're right. All the products and technologies at one time were just starting out, you know, and but now due to the Invent America, we have a great blueprint for all future companies, right?
We do. And one of the things that I talked to a gentleman last week that had 40 or 50 inventions out there, and he worked for a big aerospace company and had learned a lot and everything. And he hit on a target that I had just been talking about with another inventor that was, you know, don't minimize the reach that your product may have. And so we're going to talk about that. That's going to be an exciting show where it's like, you know, all right, you're working in this little niche, but your technology may be applicable in other areas. And he goes, at one point, I was doing this, and somebody said, what about this thing out here? And now he is helping in space. And he goes, when I did my original patent, I would never have thought of that.
You're right.
So when we talk about the technologies of the future, that's exactly where we are, is Invent America on Home Talk USA.
Now, let me ask you this now. Let's talk about how prototyping happens in stages, though, because, again, we're just trying to lay out a good blueprint for our audience.
Well, inventors, they've got a picture in their head or a video in their head, And as much as I would like to say, oh, I can read your mind, I can't read your mind, and the prototype guy cannot read your mind, and neither can the patent attorney, even though they think they can. So what we've learned is that, you know, there's stages of prototype. Your first one is your basic duct tape, cardboard, Legos, whatever. But then it's not, you don't go right into the manufacturer's prototype. So this topic, we're actually going to split into two versions. This one is going to be early stage, and then that second weekend, and a second week in the new year, we're going to go to the more advanced stages of the prototyping because, again, nobody can read your mind. And so they've got to go in steps where you, the inventor, yeah, can say, oh, I wanted it to go like this. Oh, let me try it. No, it needs to be stronger. Oh, no, this part needs to move left to right instead of top to bottom. But you don't know till you try it. And in the old days, all right, they would have to go out and make a full-scale prototype and, yeah, you know, for tens of thousands of dollars. And now we can do a rapid prototype, so it's not nearly expensive to test the different prototype versions. And I'll get people that say, I had a dozen. You know, I've got a whole museum full of prototypes until we, yeah, got it right.
And this
so
is
you never know.
And this is the stage where you don't want to rush. This is where it's got to come to a complete halt right here. Because you want to make sure you, yeah, get it right. You want to make sure that you do some testing on it or whatever, because this is so crucial, because this can be the success or the failure of your product or your technologies. And one advice I can give, and I'm sure you're going to back me up here, please, whatever you do, if you're listening to me, if you never listen to anything I say, do not take any shortcuts. Do not take a shortcut. Don't.
Oh, my God.
And if somebody tells you, well, we can cut this back to make it affordable, this. Look, don't take any shortcuts. Just put the technology that's in your head. Don't take any shortcuts. And let's see where it's going to lead you.
Yeah. And there are certainly places where an inventor can squeeze some money. This is not it.
No, this ain't it right here.
And if they pay attention to the stages and what we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks, they will learn how not to. The most costly part, Michael, is making the mistake. It's because, yeah, they tried to cut a stage out, and then they say, oh, yeah. Well, they find out, you know, if the mold was made and it's a half inch off, they got to do it all over again. They got to pay another $30,000 for the mold because they didn't take that next stage prototype and go to test it.
Yep, that's right. Don't cut the stages here, no matter what your investors tell you, no matter what the bank tells you, no matter what maybe the guy down the road tells you. Don't shortchange yourself. Just block it out of your mind. Put again, take it from a thought into a piece of paper, because if you can think it and you can write it, I'm telling you, it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Well, and a lot of inventors don't realize, so you get your sexy, shiny prototype done that you can show proof of concept, and it looks really great. But now when you go to manufacturing, that rapid prototype has got to be redone in what is referred to as a manufacturer's prototype.
Yep.
And that, again, goes through different stages of being able to get it into the marketplace. And sometimes they're not easy.
Now, especially when you decide to go with it, and then all of a sudden something technically could be wrong, and then you print out 10,000 of these products out, and then all of a sudden you have a problem, and you done waste yourself $50,000 because it's wrong or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had a lady years ago. She was doing a very cool new baby teether, and she's gone to market with it. She's sold tens of thousands of these. But in the beginning, and everybody has an in the beginning story, she had to go to market. She had to get a mold made, and it was a quarter of an inch off size to meet the industry standards, and she had to start over.
Well, Rita, there's the
crazy stuff to pay attention. Yep.
Yeah, Rita, there's the music, so you know what time it is. What time it is, Rita?
Oh, we gotta go pay some bills, Michael.
That's what I. Is there anything I can teach you? That's it right there. We gotta go pay some bills. All right, this is Home Talk USA right here on the Home Improvement Broadcasting Network. You're listening to the Invent America Show with my co-host, the Inventor Lady herself, Rita Crumpton. We're gonna be back with another topic, another guest. Stay tuned right here on the Genesis Communication Radio Network at GCNLive.com. I'll be right back with Rita.
USA with Michael King. Do you have questions about your next home improvement project or home repairs? Now you can chat with verified home repair and home improvement experts in just minutes. Get the help you need by visiting HomeTalkUSA.com, one of the best resources for home improvement information around today. Your best life begins with your best home, and there's no place like Home Talk. That's HomeTalkUSA.com. And now, back to Invent America from the number one home improvement radio program in the country, Home Talk USA, with your host, the Cajun contractor Michael King, and his co-host, the inventor lady, Rita Crompton.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are talking about different stages of prototypes so that the American inventor, when they're getting out there, has kind of a bit of an expectation on the process that they're going to be going through. And we certainly want to thank CAD Design, Scott Tarsi, for his early stage work with inventors on really pulling that idea out of your head and putting it into something three-dimensional. Now, a lot of our inventors have got different skill sets, so sometimes they can start and do a lot of it themselves. Our last guest, Shem, was certainly able to do that with his partner. Our guest right now is David Claypatch, comes from a family of inventors, so he certainly had some good training, and was the inventor of the waterless lanai cleaning in Naples, Florida, and then sold the business to his partner. So, David, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
So it's always a pleasure to have you on with us, and you've invented Lubintoss now. So tell our listeners, what is that exactly? It's not something you're playing with in the backyard with the kids.
No. It started out, I'm an avid biker, cyclist, and you should lubricate your chain often, especially if it gets wet, and depending on circumstances you're in, you should be lubricating your chain often, and anybody that's done that before knows how much of a pain that can be. So I said to myself, there must be a better way to do it, so I invented a product called Lubintoss, and that product is actually a low-cost lubrication device that you can lubricate a bicycle chain or a 100-foot metal cable wire rope in about 60 seconds or less using off-the-shelf spray lubricants, which is right now nobody has anything like that. Most of the lubricant applicators on the market are very expensive, you know, $1,000 or more, and very complicated devices. So mine is a very, very low-cost option to that. It's actually going to be meant to be included with the spray can. So if you were to buy a can of lubricant that's made for lubricating cables, this lubricant applicator would be included with that spray can, and it makes the job much easier. I mean, you could lubricate a 100-foot cable in a minute. So
wow.
And then so would we have different versions for bicycles and cables.
David, is your website up yet?
No, not yet. No, it's in the process of doing it right now. Just finishing up the. I had some new videos, and I could actually explain that to you later on when you're talking about the prototypes. I had a website already, and due to the prototype changes, I had to postpone it for a little while.
All right. Well, when you've got it, send it to me, of course, and then we'll get it up on the Invent America website right away. But there goes our topic for today. So tell us about your prototype process.
Okay, well, I don't have enough fingers and toes to tell you how many variations I went through to get to the final product. My first product worked great. I thought it was a go just the way it was, and as I started using it, it showed signs of wear quicker than I wanted to. I had to change a little bit of the design, so my first prototype sort of got tossed aside. I had to make a stronger hinge for it, I'll say. And the material that I actually made this out of was sourced from China, and unbeknownst to me, Chinese manufacturers of plastics and that type of material are different than the U.S. manufacturers. So I made my first set of prototypes out of this material that I had. It was working pretty good. I ran out of material, so I started ordering material from the USA, which I was trying to stay within here because of the shipping and things like that. And after I started making my new prototypes, I found out that it didn't meet the specifications that I needed. So it took me about 2 months of going through different manufacturers, trying to make prototypes with each one of their samples until I actually got the right company that gave me the right material to do that, to make that product, to make that prototype. That ended up my next prototype. You know, I changed the size of it, the lubrication channel to fit the chain. I changed that size later on. I changed the amount of lubricant that it would hold, because I found that in the prototyping, the testing, I found that you needed a little bit more lubricant than we had in the original prototype. And it just kept going on and on. I also designed one to fit inside the packaging. For instance, the bicycle lubrication companies have their lubricant in a box, and I redesigned the size of that to fit inside the box. And all of these things were done after I thought it was perfected. So it just kept changing.
And you talk about, you made some really, really good points that I want to, you know, kind of bullet on them. Is like, you know, you can make one, and then when you realize it's not right, throw it in the trash and figure, oh my God, I can't do this. Or you can say, okay, how do I do this better? And you find the right material, and then you test it, and then you possibly, you know, bullet point three, realize that it doesn't meet the right specifications, so then you go after some more, and you keep working it, because, you know, like Michael said when we opened the show, if you can imagine it, Mr. Inventor, you can have it built. It's just a matter of the tenacity that you have and belief in your product, that you get through the process and you get something and say, aha, that's it. That's the one we're going to go with. And even then, you, as you go through the process, you will continue to make changes and improvements.
Yeah, that's what I found, definitely. You think you have the perfect product, and then you start getting feedback from people, and you find out, you know, I can make it a little bit better this way, a little bit better that way. So you just keep changing it and tweaking it. Fortunately, the material for my product is very inexpensive, so I was able to make those changes without too much financial.
Yeah. So in a line, what advice do you have for our listeners regarding prototypes?
My advice would be to start your first prototype with as cheap a material as you can, whatever you have around the house, to try to get it, test it out as much as you can before you spend too much money on a finalized prototype, because the first one is not going to be the last one.
Very good. Very good, David. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are going to go pay some bills, everybody.